Bilhah. I was looking for Bilhah. Questions were too hard today. All right. All right. We're to may have a shorter lesson tonight. We'll see. All right. We are into 2 Kings 5. All right. If you're joining us tonight, live stream, the pastor's got gravel in his voice tonight. It's all kinds of drainage. He's been given a shot to help clear that out. Hopefully it will clear it out by Sunday for sure. My goodness. 2 Kings chapter 5, the life of Elisha. Going along pretty good. Last time we saw Naaman was healed by God's marvelous grace. And things are going well until we get to Gehazi 20. 2 Kings 5, 20, and Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God said, Behold, my master has spared Naaman the Syrian, in not receiving at his hands that which he brought. But as the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take somewhat of him. So Gehazi followed after Naaman. When Naaman saw him running after him, he lighted down from the chariot to meet him and said, Is all well? He said, All is well. My master has sent me, My master has sent me, saying, Behold, even now there be come to me from Mount Ephraim 2 young men of the sons of the prophets. Give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and 2 changes of garments. And Naaman said, Be content, take 2 talents. And he urged him, I wonder how hard he had to be urged, urged him and bound 2 talents of silver, 2 bags, with 2 changes of garments, and laid them upon 2 of his servants, and to bear them before him. And when he came to the tower, that would be Gehazi, he took them from their hand and bestowed them in the house, and he let the men go, and they departed. Secrecy. And he went in and stood before his master. And Elisha said unto him, Now think of all the questions in the world that could be asked of Gehazi. Well, how you doing? How you feeling? How's that beard looking pretty good? How's your sandals? How's the donkeys out back? Oh, here it is. Went not mine heart with thee when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee? Is it a time to receive money, to receive garments, and oliveyards, and vineyards, and sheep, and oxen, and men servants, and maidservants? Verse 25, jumped a little bit. Whence cometh thou, Gehazi? And he said, Thy servant went nowhere, no whither. Went not my heart with thee, etc. And in verse 27, And leprosy therefore of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever. And he went out from his presence a leper as white as snow. The Lord's blessing to the reading of his word. Now we think about the celebration that Naaman likely had when he came home. I think Naaman probably had a very big celebration. Everybody's happy. I mean, my goodness, he's been cured. Everybody's ever seen that. I think great rejoicing when he finally got home. The servants were probably, yahoo, and he got healed. And Elisha was, God had been honored, so probably Elisha was okay with that as well. Everyone was happy. How about his wife? Maybe Naaman could go home for the first time after a long, long time. How about the maid? Yes, my God did heal him. And so everybody's happy in the whole story, except Gehazi. Wasn't happy. Interesting, he lied to himself, he lied to Naaman, he lied to Elisha. He has the gift of lying, I believe. The attitudes of Gehazi, we find that, first of all, it was disgraceful. The attitudes is your first point. He was disgraceful of advantages. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God. So here we have Gehazi. It's like being tutelage under the most profound godly man in all the area. I mean, you should, but look at Judas. Judas was with Christ for 3 years at least, probably. And so he did not trust Christ as he should have. He had a heart, wrongful heart. Gehazi is with Elisha, and he has a wrongful heart. Question 3, what were some of the things Gehazi had seen that would be considered advantages? Well, he's seen miracles. Several miracles already, God's hands through Elisha. He heard superb teaching. Can you imagine now? Elisha was an adjunct professor, if you would, of the sons of the prophets. He's heard some really good teaching about how good God is. He continually saw in the life of Elisha a dedication to God and God answering prayer and God doing great things and preserving the life of Elisha. When that 40 was, all those men came out to kill him, and the bears got him, for example. And he's seen such examples of unselfishness. I mean, Elisha could have been set for for the rest of their life. Interesting, there's a very, 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 very well-known and very, 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 very wealthy couple who are now decided they're going to end their marriage. And she's not asking, the wife's not asking for any alimony. I just don't think she's going to need it. I just don't think she's going to need it. They have already got their dissolution already set, and they're amicable about it, a plaintiff, and they're just going to part ways after 27 years. Elisha refused all that Naaman brought. What a man of God he was, because he wanted to make sure Naaman knew without a doubt God did this, not himself. So now what does this say about the idea that a better environment is synonymous with better character? I say not so. You have people who've been in great environments who turn out and go their own way, and you have people in difficult environments who turn out to serve the Lord. And so Gehazi, if you want to say if he had a lot of advantages, it was him. He had seen so much about God through Elisha. He was not content with such things that he had. So he was disregardful of advantages, and secondly, he was disrespectful of others. Covetous spirit. I thought about bringing tonight, if my voice had been better, I'd bring up some things and see if you something you really wanted to have. Like, I don't know, maybe a Diet Mountain Dew, probably one of those. And you would get that little bit of covetousness going on. I hope none of you would have. Or maybe whatever it takes that you would like to have. I don't know, I could have brought some pictures. But Gehazi was consumed with this covetous feeling. We don't think so much about, in our society, it's a passé we feel about covetousness and greed, because we are a materialistic society, and that's the way it should be, we think. But he was disrespectful of others. Respectful of Elisha. Have we seen signs of the problem in Gehazi's life? Question 5, yes. He misrepresented Elisha's character. We find then in 21, by the way, if you look back in 20, interesting, he says, "Behold, my master," which is number 2, "my master has spared Naaman, this Syrian." So he didn't say it like that, but that would be his thoughts. Man, he spared a Syrian of all people. He'd be like you and I. He spared a member of ISIS. He spared a member of Bin Laden's gang or whatever it was. He spared that person like the most heinous. Well, that person shouldn't be. Or he spared, what's the leader of China? Xi Jinping. He spared Xi Jinping and all he's doing to do things to people. He spared Vladimir Putin. Wow. Oh, my goodness. He spared this Syrian, I'm not saying he should have struck Putin or whoever else dead. I'm saying he was free. This Syrian. How can you heal that person? Not receiving at the hands which he had brought? Disrespectful to Elisha. My master has sent me, in 22, saying, "Behold, even now there be come to me from the Mount Ephraim." Now, it was an elaborate ploy. It wasn't like just off the top. I'm like it was just off the cuff. I probably said this all the way up, running. Yeah, I can say that. Yeah. He had thought through pretty well, pretty clever. So it was disrespectful to Elisha. We've seen signs in 4:27. When the Shunammite woman was coming up to Elisha, he tried to thrust her away. One of the stories we did not cover was when there was food in 4:43. He argued with, if it's the same servant, he argued with Elisha regarding the gift of the food. If that is Gehazi there. He was disrespectful to Naaman. He called him that Syrian. So we find that he's disrespectful all around, lied to himself, lied to Naaman, and lied to Elisha. Disrespectful to God. Now, doesn't God know? And what is God's plan for Naaman? God's plan, perhaps through all of this, don't you think it could very possibly God maneuvered all these things for the one person to see Naaman come to know Christ as personal Savior? Would he do all of that? Yes. What is the price of one soul? Eternal is priceless. That's why missionaries still go out and share the gospel. Because the price, even if you teach in junior church, or Sunday school your entire life, and one person comes to know Christ as personal Savior. Maybe that was one person. I believe we are to continue to have a ministry. But God gives the increase. That one, was it the bookseller, the book, the cobbler, the one, was it D.L. Moody to the Lord or someone like that, just a shoemaker. And Moody became saved, and what a change that was. Now, how does Gehazi dishonor God's grace? In verse 8, they have come. Elisha refused, but now he's changed his mind. So could you please send a little bit of this back with me? And thirdly, he was dedicated to materialism. On page 2, he was dedicated to materialism. And Gehazi's servant Elisha, I'm sorry for my voice, I apologize. Behold, my master is come. And so he ran. I know, I will run after him and take somewhat of him. Gehazi, if he runs, can catch them before they have gone too far, but have gone far enough so Elisha is not able to see what's happening. Okay, I'm going to go. I know it. Mr. Womack don't see what I'm doing. So I'm going to run past Mr. Womack's, and I'm going to get around the curve down there, just past Karen's down there where her cousin lives right there, and I'm going to stop him right there so that Mr. Womack won't see it. And I'll get to talk to the guy there. And that's the idea. I'm going to run far enough to where Elisha, you can't outrun God. Did not my heart go with you? You could have run to China, Gehazi. Did not my heart go to you, with you? Not far enough. Can you see the spirit of materialism today? Can we see materialism today? Yes. We are abounded. We are flush with materialism in the world today. Stock market. Now, I subscribe to the Wall Street Journal. And so I know some of them get open. The first thing they look at is how the stock market's doing. How's it going? I peruse it every once in a while. See, mainly I see if gas prices are going to go up or down. But that's their livelihood. What is it doing today? I remember Mrs. B. Wynn's brother-in-law, James. I visited him different times. And he did well in the stock market, of course, no. And he would have that on every time I go visit him. He's watching the stock market and see how he's doing in the stock market. He was following it closely. And secondly, there's the acquisition of Gehazi, the result of lying in 22. All is well. My master has sent me, saying, behold, even now there have come to me from Mount Ephraim two young men of the sons of the prophets. Give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and two changes of garments. The result of lying. Now, it was a clever lie. McLaren said, such glib ingenuity in lying augurs, which means portends, long practice in the art. So if you were to ask me to sew a sport jacket, about 5 days from now, it'd be like I would have things so messed up because I've never done that before and I never have a desire. I don't have a desire now. But if you ask me possibly to make biscuits tomorrow for supper, I've done that a few hundred times. And so I can do that, okay. Sew a jacket? No. So lying, evidently, different people were mentioned, they feel that it was something that he's done already. It was a clever lie. It was a religious lie. Would Naaman now be sympathetic to helping out the servants of God? Yes. Christ, God has, Jehovah has healed him. That's all the same. Christ, God, Jehovah. Jehovah has healed him. So now he's going to be, yes, praise him. What can I do? What a change of life. And the result, what was the result of the liberality? Gehazi's page 3, success in acquiring a great handout was not only a result of his lying, but as a result of Naaman's generosity. You can think for just a moment now. Gehazi, a Jewish servant, Israelite servant, is running after the general of Syria, for the general of Syria even to stop his chariot to talk to a servant. Naaman's been changed. What had been changed? Question 11, I think it had been changed from the inside out, no doubt, a desire to help, whatever God would have him to do. And so the word there, shalom. Is it well? Shalom? Peace be unto you? Of course, another lie, it is well. Well, was it really well? Because he wanted some of the things that Naaman had. So the arrest. Question number 12. Do most criminals get caught as quickly as Gehazi did? No, not necessarily. And so he gives him two, takes the people with him, two servants. And 25, whence comest thou, Gehazi? And he said, thy servant went no whither. So we find that Gehazi is caught pretty quickly. I was reading this yesterday, I think it was, perhaps in the Wild West, when the hanging judge was in the area, and someone did something wrong, you're going to hang at dawn. We've seen the Westerns, I imagine that's how it's done. Typically, in 2018, the average wait for a person on death row in America was 238 months. The shortest time anyone's ever had on death row, according to the statistic, was 252 days. So most criminals do not get caught and punished as quickly as Gehazi did. There were the efforts to avoid arrest. There was deception in 24. He took the stuff, and as they're going back towards Samaria, either the hill that Samaria is on or a building before they get there on another hill, he stopped, deposited his goods, and sent the servants back home. Why? Because he did not want to be caught. I mean, my goodness, he's done a wrong thing. He knows that. He's lied. He's mistreated, disrespected Elisha, God, and Naaman. How did Gehazi work it out? So Elisha, he stopped early. He's like, okay, I got some things here, but I don't want Mr. Womack to find out that I had stopped there. So I'm going to stop and I'm going to put this in Bill and Karen's house because he can't see far down. I'm going to put it there and then I'm going to go back to church. I got the things over here. I'll put it in Bill and Karen's house and then I'm going to go back and then he'll be none the wiser. Unless Moses comes out to greet me or something like that. Deception in his arrival. Deception, number two, in his arrangements. Sin is always hiding. Can you think of in the Bible how sin often calls people, Adam and Eve from the Garden of Eden, they sin and they're hiding in the garden. Where are you? And then it was Achan. He stole the things and covered them in his tent. I think of Ananias and Sapphira. They were spiritually or internally hiding, lying. Sin causes that. Deception and also his appearance. You find then that he stood before Elisha. And you can just imagine how he's come back. And he said, verse 25, went in and stood before his master. That would be like a normal thing. He'd be like, I'm reporting to duty, sir. And so usually when I leave the work place where I'm working at now, I'll come up and I'll put like this, I'm requesting permission to leave, sir. Yes. And he'll say, see you tomorrow. It's like the youngest guy there. We tease about it. I think it's my, he's standing here for Elisha. What do you want me to do? I'm standing ready. I've done nothing wrong. I've been your loyal favorite. I've been your favorite. I'm your only servant. I'm your favorite servant. I'm ready to do something for you. What do you want me to do? So it's deceptive. And finally, deception is answer. What comest thou, Gehazi? Now, you know what? Right there, he could have maybe repented right there and not gotten leprous, maybe perhaps. Oh, I've done really wrong, Elisha. Please forgive me. I took stuff and I lied about you. I lied about to Naaman. I lied about God. And I really used the Lord's name in vain. If you notice up there, he said, let's see here. As the Lord liveth. As the Lord liveth. I'm going to run. So it's really what we say, you know, a curse word uses the Lord's name in vain. But just about any other question would have been more comfortable for Gehazi. But remember, he's already been lying. So when he answers what he'd been doing, he said, the servant went in nowhither. I didn't go anywhere. But was Gehazi successful in avoidance of Elisha's discerning spirit? And no, he was not, because the revelation and the arrest. And he said unto him, went not my heart with thee? And the man turned again in his chariot to meet thee. It was a time to receive money and to receive garments and halberds and vineyards and sheep and oxen, manservants and maidservants. No, it wasn't time to do that. It was a time to let God be honored because God did the healing of the Syrian general. Elisha, by a discernment miracle, told Gehazi where he went and what he acquired from Naaman and even how he planned to spend his bounty. Vineyards, olive yards, manservants. You're going to get these for yourself. Is it time to do that or time to put God first? There's a lack of spiritual discernment even today among many Christians. It makes it fertile soil for people who teach other than biblical truths to grow in. The judgment from the arrest in 27. And leprosy, therefore, of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever. And he went out from his presence, a leper as white as snow. What a quick response. What a quick announcement of the punishment, the judgment from the arrest. So there's number two was the revelation in the arrest. Number three is the judgment from the arrest. And first of all, he lost his health. I don't know if he was an exercising person. I don't know. I just saw where Peloton is recalling all of their treadmills. So if you have a Peloton treadmill, it's going to be recalled most likely. I don't know if he was on the treadmill, had a great physique and was really an athletic person. Maybe that's how he could run after Naaman. I don't know, but he lost that because he leaves Elisha's presence. And remember, leprosy was not, it's like you got some drainage in your throat. I'll give you a steroid shot, give you some cough medicine, and give you some pills tomorrow to take and get rid of that stuff. Leprosy wasn't like that. It was a life really ending, beginning of the end of your life. He lost his helpfulness. No longer, if you are now in the Jewish circles, Israelite circles, if you were leprous and you were outside the camp, so he lost his helpfulness. He's been more harmed than good, really, right now. He had it made. Spiritually speaking, he had all the advantages that a lot of people would give their eye teeth for. In that, he lost it. He lost his honor. Three, lost his honor. Can you imagine that? Gehazi was your uncle. Yeah. So that's why you have leprosy. Yeah. And the grandchildren, oh, well, Gehazi was my grandpa, so that's why you got, yeah, was. His great-grandpa, yeah, he was my great, yeah, that's why you're leprous, yes. Great-great-grandson, yeah, that's why I've got it. And so he lost his honor. He just remembered as the leprous one. He lost his home. Lost his home. He cannot live with Elisha. He's going to be quarantined with restrictions. Long before COVID ever hit, he's been quarantined the rest of his life. He lost his holdings. The material gain. Now, it doesn't say in Scripture, but I'm going to read between the lines. I think very likely that Elisha somehow got that back to Naaman. I'm fairly certain Elisha did not do anything with it. I'd imagine he somehow contacted Naaman and sent it all back. I cannot see him allowing people to profit from such a dishonest thing. And finally, he lost his happiness. Now, I'm not saying Gehazi was a happy person. He necessarily wasn't because he was so covetous. But whatever happiness he had, it went out the door, never to return. Lost his health, helpfulness, honor, home, holdings, and happiness. I wonder tonight if you and I are beset with covetousness. I trust that we're not. I think sometimes I have. I know in my past I've tried to do things on my own instead of waiting for God to answer. Well, God, you show me what you want to do in that. And if it doesn't answer quick enough, I'll just do my own thing instead of waiting. Well, that was always turn out bad. Always turn out bad. The case of the greedy gimmies. I trust that you and I do not have that. And if it comes our way, we will shun it, right? We'll shun it. We're going to end early because I know you're tired of hearing my voice. Let's pray. Lord, we're thankful that you are the God of healing, but you're also the God of holiness, and you are the God who can exact a retribution in a moment's time, or sometimes, Lord, you're patient and wait. Lord, it was the people of Canaan that you waited such a long time before the Israelites even moved in to wipe them out. They had, was it 400 years? They had a long time. Lord, America, we've had decades to repent. We've had decades to get right with you. We've had, since 9/11, a wake-up call. We've had 20 years. I'm not saying it was just a wake-up call, but it should have been a call for us to wake up. So, Lord, I pray that you help us as a nation, that we would come back to the truth, that the grand illusion of the current, it seems, current mindset of so many, this grand illusion would be back to truthfulness. And so, Lord, you are truth. Your word is truth. And so, Lord, may we uphold the truth of your word. I pray, Lord, that you just be with our nation, our leaders. Be with us now as we go our separate ways. Be with those who are ill and infirmed. Be with those maybe traveling. Be with those who are recovering from surgery. Lord, may our lives be such that they honor you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.